last case for the day is Hull versus Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Poon Chin Ma for the petitioner. Your Honor, this case raises a recurring question to be answered by this court. Here we have a young man who resisted China's coercive birth control measures on his girlfriend. And the based on the law that if a spouse is persecuted because of coercive birth control measures, and then the other spouse can claim, can file a claim for asylum based on persecution. But the rule, at least that so far, this court adheres to the rule that this relationship has to be a marital relationship. But our argument is that whether the couple got married or not married is not relevant, because the protection of one spouse based on the suffering of the other spouse, or protection of one person based on suffering of his girlfriend, is basically the same thing in nature.
Have you seen Zhang? Have you seen our recent case of Zhang versus Gonzalez on January 19th?
January of this year? I don't think I saw that, but we did have a case not published, rendered by this court. The court has some reasoning on the issue. But
the case is saying the facts are largely indistinguishable.
Beg your pardon, Your Honor?
Zhang is virtually indistinguishable from this case.
Yeah, but we still need to argue this case because
Zhang helps you, Mr. Ma. Zhang helps you.
Oh, really? I was not told about this case. Okay. I don't need to argue the reasoning, but I need to point out that in future cases, in this kind of relationship, the boyfriend has a protectable interest. And the reason is that, for instance, if a spouse was persecuted because of his or her practice of a certain kind of religion, the other spouse cannot claim the benefit just based on the other spouse's past persecution. But in this sense, why the birth control measures should be different? Because there is a natural relationship between the baby, between the two parties, and that should be protected. And also in this case, we have a young man who resisted the measure, who received 7 stitches himself in the course of the resistance.
Actually, didn't he get in a fight? Wasn't he resisting arrest when he got banged up?
Yeah, because the officials tried to arrest his girlfriend. He was trying to protect her.
I understand she wasn't even present. She wasn't anywhere there. Was she there when he got banged up?
She was there.
That's only my understanding. Of course, that was in the way.
The issue, she was not there. The official came to his home, tried to find her.
That's what I said. She wasn't there, so he wasn't trying to protect her. He was just getting banged up because he got smart stuff.
Because the officials believed that he had information about his girlfriend. That was the issue. He himself received a cut that required 7 stitches.
I understand. As I understand, he resisted the police officers when they were trying to interrogate him.
Right. Okay. Based on the injury he himself received and his girlfriend received, he should be protected. He has a valid basis for asylum. If this court holds that the girlfriend's suffering is not sufficient, and then I believe this court should consider the combining factors, the suffering of the girlfriend and also the suffering himself, make an exception to the rule, if there is a rule, that unmarried couples should not be protected under the asylum law. I'm done. If the panel does not have any questions, I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
May it please the Court, Jill Zengler, Your Honors, on behalf of the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez. In regard to Zhang versus Gonzalez, Your Honor, the Attorney General would suggest that perhaps the facts in this case are distinguishable from that case. In Zhang, the young Chinese male that came here from China, leaving his, at the time, wife behind after a forced abortion, Correct, Your Honor, exactly.
Right.
They were married in a traditional Chinese ceremony.
Yeah,
they intended to live together as husband and wife.
But it wasn't, you know, accepted by China.
Exactly. And this court accepted the reasoning in the Ma versus Ashcroft case from the Ninth Circuit to find that legal marriage, that informal Chinese marriage, although not recognized under the very law that caused the marriage not to be legal, to find that marriage did satisfy the requirement in the CYZ case to extend the Section 601 of the ERIRA, the presumption, to the spouse.
But isn't the harm to the man in this case is the inability to become a parent, an interest that exists regardless of whether the government will allow you to marry or not?
Not exactly, Your Honor. The courts that have decided the issue, the Fifth Circuit and then the Chen decision in the Third Circuit, focus on the relationship that the man and the woman had in regard to the child that was aborted. The fact that they intended to have a family together, the fact that if they remained in China, they would be subjected to the family planning policy and would be precluded from raising that child together as husband and wife.
But do we know that Zhu and Don did not intend to marry? Doesn't Zhu testify only that they were too young to marry at age 16? So we don't really know what they might have done had they not been under the thumb of the Chinese government, which prohibits marriage under the age of 22 for a man and under the age of...
To the contrary, Your Honor, there is support in the record for the fact that they did not intend to live together as husband and wife. There is nothing, Zhu never testified, but for the fact I was too young, I wanted her to marry me. There's no evidence in the record to that effect. In fact, when they found out that she was pregnant, and again, the record reflects that these are ninth graders in China, the equivalent of ninth graders. They did what most children would do. They went to their parents, and a decision was made among the parents to keep the child. And Zhu testifies that the parents were going to raise that child because that's what's done in China, because practically they had the ability to do that. He testifies later that he would do what he could to help. He would earn money to raise the child. But there was nothing at that point where he had the opportunity to establish for the immigration judge, to bring himself within the rule of CYZ, that he intended to live with Dong as husband and wife in some capacity. There is no evidence, there is no testimony to that effect whatsoever. And in fact, he broke up with her to leave the country. And the record indicates that she wasn't happy with that decision, not unlike most relationships for young lovers, if you will, who break up, one moves on to the United States, the other remains in China. Now, the IJ did note that if Dong were here instead of in China, she would have a viable asylum claim because she was a person who underwent an abortion. But in deciding not to extend the rule in CYZ to an unmarried male, particularly under the difficult facts in this case, where there is no indication whatsoever that there was ever even any intent to marry, And without that intent to marry, without the at least traditional Chinese marriage ceremony that couldn't be lawfully recognized in China because of the law indicating that these two individuals were too young.
I have a real problem with your argument, because to the extent that a man is interested in being a father, I can't imagine how that interest differs, whether the man is married to the woman bearing the child, particularly where the man could not be married to the pregnant woman. And that's what Zhang says.
But in Zhang, in that decision, the focus on that was the traditional marriage ceremony. And the reasoning of the court did refer to the husband and the wife raising that child together. There wasn't a situation in that particular case where we had the unmarried Chinese man.
I have to differ with you, and having written Zhang, I think I have, you know, some understanding of it, because in Zhang, we discredited the idea that the bonds of marriage somehow gave men an interest in the potential future child. It was the loss of the ability to become a parent that formed the basis of the persecution. And here, not only is Zhu subject to persecution when his girlfriend's fetus is aborted against her will, he was also directly subject to the hands of the population-controlled tyrants who beat him up and, you know, slit his head and...
Yes, Your Honor, and in regard to that incident, there's... it was the immigration judge, after hearing the testimony from Mr. Zhu, and he was the only witness, indicated that it was a melee. He was trying to resist the officials. He was resisting arrest. They were trying to take him into custody to force her to report later. She was not present at the home. She was hiding. And the immigration judge described it as a melee. And
he may have described it as a melee, but, you know, Congress has really made it abundantly clear that resistance to forced family planning is indeed persecution that is based on political opinion. And Zhu, it seems, was detained and beaten for resisting the family planning policy. I mean, if it had been another group that had come to beat him up, well, maybe. But these are, you know, the family control creatures that...
But Mr. Zhu was not injured until neighbors joined in when he was trying to escape, and he was never actually taken into custody. The record indicates that he did escape, and that somehow he got struck in the head with a brick. At first he testified he didn't know how it happened, that somebody picked up a brick, and then he said it must have been one of the family planning officials. He escaped. In fact, I think at that point the record indicates he testified that the family planning officials backed off and told him to report after he got treatment. He never reported. He, as he described it, remained in hiding in China for about 3 months and then made his way to the United States after breaking up.
Help me with this. Forgive me. I don't mean to interrupt. Suppose a country not only practiced forced abortion of pregnancies occurring outside the bounds of marriage, but also prohibited interracial marriage. Would we grant asylum to a white man whose wife was the victim of a forced abortion, but deny asylum to a white man whose black girlfriend, because of course they're not permitted to marry, was forced to abort?
Your Honor, I'm not familiar, honestly, with what the precedent of this court is in that particular area to be able to say any more than the claim would have to be analyzed on its face on a full record to determine whether or not those individuals were singled out for persecution on account of one of those five factors. In this case, the issue comes down to, frankly, whether or not CYZ, the matter of CYZ, which interpreted the Section 601 that was added to the immigration code to include individuals who were subjected to forced abortions or forced sterilizations or resistance, to bring them within the definition of a refugee, and whether or not CYZ, in extending that provision to a spouse of a of a woman who underwent an abortion should be further extended to include an unmarried, and in this case an unmarried juvenile, who testified very clearly that his parents were going to keep the child. And I'm not suggesting that, the loss of the child isn't tragic, but that's not the standard that Congress established when it wrote our immigration laws, when it set the standard for what constitutes persecution on account of political opinion. And the CYZ decision is a decision of the board which has given effect to that provision. And in that regard, it should be accorded deference by this court. In below, the immigration judge simply applied that established precedent to the facts before him on the record. And on the facts on this record, looking at the law that's in effect, the immigration judge's construction was reasonable and should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. 5 minutes.
Okay. Now, Your Honor, we have to go back to the issue of a marriage relationship. A marriage is an artificial relationship. It's a legal relationship, but the law protects a relationship not based on this artificial relationship, but based on a relationship between the two parties with regard to the baby. For instance, again, that's if a spouse claims that his wife suffered persecution because his wife practiced Falun Gong or other religion, this husband cannot file a claim for persecution for asylum based on that. But in the case of an abortion case, clearly the law protects his interest, protects him based on the fact that his wife suffered forced abortion. That means the law recognized this natural relationship between the two parties.
Marriage is a continuing relationship between the parties. Is there anything in this record that shows that he intended to continue a relationship with the girl who was aborted? Anything in the record?
I was talking about not to be a...
No. I'm asking if there's anything in this record that would indicate that he intended to continue a long-term relationship with the lady who was aborted.
We don't have that, but
I know
the two families discussed the issue of the child. The two families...
That sounds like a normal relationship that everybody sits around and talks about. How come Junior got the girl pregnant when neither one of them were old enough to count past 10? But it does not establish a relationship between the acceptive short-term sexual relationship between the two kids involved. But I want to know if there's any continuing relationship that's even hinted to in the record.
If the girl gives the baby, there might be a long-term relationship.
Yeah, there might be a long-term relationship that was the parents taking care of the child. There might be a long-term relationship because the parents' wife would be. Was there anything in the record, I said, that indicated that the parties involved, the woman who was aborted, and your client, had any intention of continuing a long-term relationship that even smacked the marriage?
But there is no evidence in the record either that the relationship was for a short term. Probably that issue was not raised.
It was short term unless we get out of town in blue, so that's relatively short.
Yeah, that's the. I think the law that the focus is not the direct relationship between the two parties, adult parties, but between the two parties with regard to the baby.
If that theory is correct, any Chinese male who has an impregnated woman who gets aborted, it can ask for asylum here in the United States. Any Chinese man,
I know that they're limited. It's not a lot of people can claim the benefit based on an abortion of a girl.
Being able to impregnate a girl is not allowed for entering the United States, as far as I know. I say the ability to impregnate a female by a male is not a grounds for the male to get asylum in the United States. But I mean, that's a point of view.
I understand. That's about to be He was not claiming that he should be protected because he got this girl pregnant.
Yes, he was.
He was claiming that because of the
abortion.
Right.
His contribution to the whole thing was to get her pregnant. Hmm? His contribution to the whole thing was to get her pregnant.
Right.
That's all he did.
Yeah, that's right. But he does have an interest in the baby. I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning.